And this is Bill Finley with this week's Thoroughbred Daily News Podcast. In existence since 1910, Claiborne Farm is the most renowned thoroughbred breeding operation in the United States. The Paris, Kentucky farm is an iconic figure in the sport's history, but has never been content to sit back and rely on its reputation. Evidence of that is the new person in charge. Just 27 years old, Walker Hancock is now the head man at Claiborne, and he brings to the job the type of youth that is likely to better prepare Claiborne for the rapidly changing world we live in. But also, the experience and appreciation of the Claiborne brand and its history, those are things that he recognizes and appreciates as well. After this message from our sponsor, TaylorMade, we'll learn a lot more about Walker Hancock.
Looking for unique gift ideas for the holidays? Visit TaylorMade's new online gift shop for a wide array of horse-themed items, including exclusive merchandise featuring the one and only California Chrome. Visit shop.taylormadefarm.com.
On the racetrack, Claiborne has campaigned horses like 1984 Kentucky Derby winner Swale and was the co-owner of 2010 Breeders' Cup Classic winner Blame. But it's in the stallion barn where Claiborne has excelled the most. It has been the stallion home of Secretariat, Mr. Prospector, Danzig, Bold Ruler, and so many others. But this is a business where people want to know, what have you done for me lately? The person that has to answer that question is Walter Hancock, who took over at Claiborne in 2014 at the age of 24 years old. He's now Claiborne's managing director. Welcome, Walker. And the first thing when you go to Claiborne's website, you see the motto right there, front and center, Claiborne, doing the unusual, unusually well. What does that mean to you?
Well, that was my phrase my grandfather coined, and that's what we try and do and live by here at the farm. And it's basically just do the little things the right way. There's many ways to raise a good horse, but, we ought to just stick to the basics. We raise them the right way. We let them be horses. And I've kind of learned to embrace that attitude and carry it forward.
There has never been a time in the farm's history where it was not run by a member of the Hancock family. You're the fourth generation. It goes back to 1910. And like your father before you, you took over at a very young age. When did it become apparent to you that you were the heir apparent to take over the helm of Claiborne someday?
Well, my dad was always very supportive with anything I wanted to do. He told me at a young age that if this wasn't something I had my heart in, didn't want to do it, there's no pressure to do it whatsoever. I think that kind of support and kind of led me to want to do it even more, if that makes sense. I didn't feel pressure to do it. It's something I've always wanted to do, however. And I obviously enjoy it a whole lot. And, I love going to work every day.
24 years old, a lot of people are still just out of college, living with their parents, maybe have a job where they're looking for bigger and better things. You were essentially at that age the CEO of not only a major horse farm, but as I said in the introduction, a horse farm that is the gold standard so far as horse racing and breeding. And that, Walker, that has to be a little bit intimidating to be that young and to have that kind of responsibility put upon you. Was it? What was that like?
Yeah, no, you're right. There is no doubt. But, I kind of joke with Dad. He started when he was 22. So I got two extra years on him of more experience. But, no, we have a great team here at the farm, and it makes my job a whole lot easier. I have the luxury of having my dad still around to bounce ideas off of, to turn to for advice, to kind of, he kind of helps me stay in line a little bit. He didn't have that luxury, so I'm fortunate for that. And, like I said, we have a great team, great farm manager in Bradley Purcell, and Bernie Sams does a great job with our stallions. So, it makes my job easier, and it is a lot of pressure, and I understand that. But, I embrace it and look forward to the challenge.
Walker, your father, Seth Hancock, I don't know off the top of my head what his age is, but he looks, when I see him, to be in great health. He's not a particularly old man. Why did he want to turn the reins over to you at this point in his life? What did he tell you about that?
Well, he started when he was 22, so he's been going at it for well over 40 years. And when you do something for 40 years, it's got to wear down on you. And it certainly has. And you know, it gives me he has a lot of faith in me and confidence, which is I take for granted. And I embrace the challenge, and it's very nice to have him in the back office here, and I can go back and ask him any questions I might have, or he can give me advice if he sees we're going off track here or something like that. But it's very important that he's still around, and I'm thankful for that.
Do you ever find yourself disagreeing with him on things? And if so, it's kind of I don't know if you're his boss or not, but I guess in some ways you are. But he's also your dad. And if that ever comes, well, first of all, does that ever come up? And if it does, how do you and your dad resolve that?
Well, I mean, he's done it for 40 plus years. So he obviously knows, he's seen a lot more than I have. And I realize that. And, we have our, not our disagreements, but, he's not going to tell me, yo, you shouldn't be doing this or you should need to be doing that. He'll more just be like giving me advice instead of telling me what to do. So, thankfully we haven't had any big controversies as of yet, but, I don't think we will. I don't see that happening. We think along the same lines, and, we're very supportive of each other. So it's a lot of fun to be able to go to work, every day and do something with your dad.
Now, when he took over, there was a much different situation. Your grandfather, again, the iconic Bull Hancock, passed away, and your dad at age 22, I don't imagine they had originally planned for him to take over so young. He was more put into that position. And has he talked to you about that? And I think from father-son relationship and, Claiborne executive to Claiborne executive relationship, probably that would be the greatest advice he could give you, what it's like to be in your 20s and doing this. What has he ever told you about the pressures and the difficulties and the whole situation that he inherited when he took over?
Right. So, yeah, obviously he was thrown right in the fire. He didn't have a choice. He didn't have anyone to really turn to. So he had to figure out on his own. I know right when he took over was when Secretariat was around and went in the Triple Crown, and he had to syndicate him at a very young age. And I know he's told me before, if he wasn't so young, he ignorance is almost bliss. I've heard him say before that maybe if he was older, he would have maybe realized the magnitude of the situation a little bit more. But he was young and he was just hungry, and he was just going after it. And, I love that tenacity and that kind of idea thinking. And, I'm trying to do the same thing. So, I'm trying to learn from him the best I can and follow in his footsteps.
We'll have a lot more with Walker Hancock, but first, another ad from our sponsor, TaylorMade.
TaylorMade, the worldwide leader in thoroughbred sales and marketing, has teamed up with the Tony Leonard Collection. Now, horse enthusiasts from around the world can browse and purchase select photos from the lifelong collection of renowned equine photographer, the late great Tony Leonard. For unique gifts and never-before-seen historical photos of racing's all-time greats, visit thetonyleonardcollection.com.
Secretariat is blazing along. The first three quarters of a mile in 109 and 4/5. Secretariat is widening now. He is moving like a tremendous machine. Secretariat by 12. Secretariat by 14 lengths on the turn. Sam is dropping back. It looks like they'll catch him today, as My Gallant and Vice of Prince are both coming up to him now. But Secretariat is all alone. He's out there almost a 16th of a mile away from the rest of the horses. Secretariat is in a position that seems impossible to catch. He's into the stretch. Secretariat leads his field by 18 lengths. And now Price of Prince has taken second, and Mike Gallant has moved back to third. They're in the stretch. Secretariat has opened a 22-length lead. He is going to be the Triple Crown winner. Here comes Secretariat to the wire. An unbelievable, an amazing
And that, of course, was the 1973 Belmont Stakes, won by, in my mind, the greatest racehorse that ever lived. And then he spent his stallion days at Claiborne Farm. Walker, if my math is right, and I might be wrong about this, I believe you were born the same year he died. It, regardless of whether that's right or wrong, you certainly don't have any memories of him being on the farm. But of all the things that Claiborne is famous for, at least in my mind, and I think a lot of people would agree with it, the most famous thing is Claiborne was the home of Secretariat as a sire. And just growing up as part of the Claiborne family, you know, what did you hear about him? What did you know about him? What stories did your dad say? What was it like? And you only know this, of course, secondhand, but what was the legacy of Secretariat at Claiborne, and what do you know and what have you heard about it?
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's what we're known for. You know, I can go anywhere around the world or across the country and they'll say, oh, what do you do? You know, I work at Claiborne, and, you know, they'll kind of like, oh, that's cool. You know, someone that doesn't know much about horses, but when I say that's where Secretariat's buried, they kind of like, okay. You know, so they kind of put one and one together, and it's really cool. And, to be known for that. And certainly we are, and we embrace it. I mean, we are who we are today for many reasons, but Secretariat plays a big role in our history. And we're very proud of that. And like you said, when I was born 2 months before he was born. So I, like you said, I had no recollection of Secretariat, but just from the stories and the pictures, I wish I could have been around to see the creature. And you know, you hear stories how impressive he was and everything like that. Fortunately, I don't remember, but I can only live through the pictures that I've seen. So, we're very proud of what he's done for our farm. And, you know, we have visitors come through the gate. We had around 10,000 visitors last year. And every week, you know, they'll come pay their respects and lay peppermints on his grave. And right now he has a big wreath, a Christmas wreath someone sent him, that lays by his grave site there. So we're certainly known for him, and you know, we embrace that as well.
Well, all generations of the Hancock men literally grew up on the farm. And in researching this, I found a great quote from your grandfather who was talking about his father. He said, my father paid me 50 cents a day to sweep out after the yearling. So the great Bull Hancock, that's how he started out, getting paid 50 cents a day. For you, what was it like growing up on the farm, and what were some of your early jobs? Did your dad ever give you, I hope, more than 50 cents, but did he ever give you $2 or $3 to clean stalls or anything like that?
Well, I actually got less than 50 cents. I got a quarter per gate I opened. So in the afternoons, my dad would drive through the fields, checking on the mares and foals, and I would get the gates for them, and I got 25 cents per gate I got. And at the end of the day, I usually had about $3 worth or so. And we'd go down to the shop area where the vending machine, and I could get a pop and a snack or something. So that was probably one of my first jobs on the farm. But in high school, I started at the bottom, and you know, Dad told me, you know, if you decide that you want to do this, you're going to have to start at the bottom and work your way up. You're not going to get done with college, figure out you don't want to do anything else, and then come back and start at the top. So in high school, I was weed eating. I was putting the hay and straw in the barns, you know, and then as I got a little older and stronger, more mature, I was able to work with the yearlings for the sales prep my junior and senior year of high school. And then I've kind of just worked up from there. So I've seen all parts of the farm. And then on the weekends, when I was in middle school even, I would help out with the mares. And there's actually a picture of me and the blood horse when I was 8 years old leading a mare at the January sale. So I started at a young age, and I've done just about every job you can possibly imagine to do here on the farm.
Well, 25 cents a chore, you can't start much more at the bottom than that. And Walker, just like we were talking about Secretariat, you did not have the good fortune to have ever known your grandfather. But again, you know, people throw around the word legendary a little bit too easily, but in his case, it does apply. The man is a legendary figure in the history of not just the breeding industry, but racing in general. Even the name Bull is an imposing, iconic name. I mean, you just think of Bull and you think of power and strength and everything like that. Again, even though you never met him, what have you been taught about your grandfather through your relatives, in particular your father, about what he meant to Claiborne, and what lessons have come from Bull Hancock that were passed on to your father, Seth, and I'm sure your father, Seth, passed on to you?
Right. So, you know, I've only heard stories from the guys that worked on the farm and stuff, and from everything I've heard, he surely represented the name Bull very well. Very intimidating man, and just some of the stories that you've heard the guys talk, you know, it's I certainly wouldn't want to be on his bad side. But no, he did a lot for this farm, obviously the thoroughbred industry in general, the American breed, importing the stallions that he did. And yeah, like I said, he coined that phrase, do the usual and usually will, and we've stuck to that. And you know, I think that's another reason why we're here today. You know, doing the small things right, not forgetting about those. And you know, it's hard to get a horse from the foaling barn to the racetrack. We try and do it the best way we can, and using his principles that he kind of laid down, and we still do those here today.
Most people in the horse industry in Lexington bleed UK blue. That may not be the case with you, because you went another direction. You went to Florida, and you were actually one of the managers of the football team. First question, was Tim Tebow there while you were manager?
It was the junior and senior year when I was a manager, my freshman and sophomore year.
And what was he like?
Great player, great guy. What you see on TV and read about is exactly the way he was. He's not fake whatsoever. He's very genuine, caring, and he was a great guy to be around on the football field.
Well, we'll see how his baseball career turns out. Always making news, Tim Tebow. Now, Walker, also that, you know, there is a parallel between football and horse racing in the very obvious that great football players are great athletes, great horses are great athletes. So you have been around both. You've been around Tim Tebow, and you've been around great horse athletes. Did you learn anything from the experience with the football team that you can apply? I don't know what that might be, but maybe there's something I'm not thinking of. Is there anything?
No.
Okay.
No, I'm glad you asked that, because I almost said it before, but I didn't know if you knew I was a football manager or not. Being around Coach Meyer, Urban Meyer, you know, he's one of the greatest football coaches going right now, him and Nick Saban. And, you know, he might go down in history as being one of the best. And being around him and seeing how he runs the program, and there actually are a lot of parallels. You know, he always preached about doing the small things right, you know, on and off the football field, discipline and everything like that. And, you know, there's some of those principles that you can apply here on the farm. I know it might sound crazy, but like I said, doing the usual and usually well is exactly what Coach Meyer was preaching. So I got to see a lot of parallels, and it was fun to see in a different environment. So I learned actually a whole lot from that experience, and I'm grateful for that.
We'll continue our conversation with Walker Hancock after this message from our sponsor, TaylorMade.
For Grade 1 winners and Breeders' Cup champions, TaylorMade is your number one source. Now, with a new online gift shop, TaylorMade is also the place to find unique holiday gift ideas. What will you find? Visit shop.taylormadefarm.com.
And welcome back. We're talking with Walker Hancock. This is Bill Finley on the Thoroughbred Daily News podcast. And Walker, I've been told by people that know you and work with you at the farm that the racehorse, now Stallion Lee, is kind of your baby. He's always been a favorite of yours, and that all along you've called many of the shots with him concerning his racing career. What is it about this particular horse that you like so much? And now that he's, I believe his weanlings are hitting the ground, will be hitting the ground in a few months. If I'm wrong about my math there, please correct me. But what is it about him that made him special to you personally, and what is your prognosis for him as a sire?
Yeah, so we're excited about his first arrivals this spring. So his first mares are in utero, and we'll hopefully be seeing little Lees running around here in a month or so. But he's just a cool horse. You know, I was working with Al Stahl when he was in the barn, and I would graze him every afternoon. And he broke his maiden at Saratoga, and then backed that up with an allowance one at Saratoga, the same meet I was working for Al. So I kind of fell in love with him then. But I don't know. He is one of my favorite horses. He and Blame are my top two. When I was, as I mentioned before, I was working with yearlings in high school, and Blame was actually a yearling in my barn that I had for the summer. So he has also a special place in my heart, but Leah does as well. He has a very cool attitude. He brought it every time he ran. He ran hard. He never had a bad race except for the Whitney, but we don't really know what happened there. But, he traveled all around the world, and he was so unfortunate not to win a couple more of those races because he came so close and he ran so hard. And, being around the football team, sometimes the most talented players, they didn't always perform, and the ones that didn't have that much talent always sometimes did, and those were my favorite kind of players. And Lee was maybe one of those kind. He didn't have the top tier talent, but he was competitive, and he ran hard and tried hard every time.
They round the turn now, and it's Departing, setting sights on the West Virginia Derby, moves out by four or five lengths. Ruler of Lovers racing second, and they're clear of Overanalyze, and then comes Between Here and Cool, but down to the 16th pole, and it's all Departing. Departing is well clear of Ruler of Love, and Departing wins the West Virginia Derby by eight lengths.
Declaration of War and Hillstar in third and fourth, followed by Toronado, who's yet to play his cards, being weighted with at the back of the field. Now he's being driven, Toronado, by Richard Hughes to try and close up. Al-Kazim draws alongside and passes Trading Leather as they go past the point where it's now testing unknown territory for Toronado. But he's got plenty of lengths to make up, not doing so at this stage. Declaration of War is coming there strongly to tackle Al-Kazim, and Trading Leather, who's battling bravely on the far side. Al-Kazim's in trouble. Declaration of War on the near side is finishing off best. Trading Leather on the far side from Al-Kazim, and John Long International 2013 goes to Declaration of War. Gainley, a deserved win.
We just heard two important wins on two different continents, on two different surfaces, by the great, great stallion Warfront. And Walker, this is a question of stating the obvious, but I want you to be able to put it in your own words. Here's a sire who is almost as good as it gets. He's on anybody's top two or three list of the best sires in the country. He stands for $250,000. Put into your own words, what has he meant for Claiborne? How important is he to this farm?
Well, like you said, when to open up the podcast, what have you done for me lately? Well, we had a long run there of standing in the top sire, and we certainly have one now with Warfront. So that is certainly, he's brought a lot to our farm here lately, and he's been great for us. He's been well supported by some great clients of ours, and he's the man. He's a very cool horse to be around. He gets them to run on turf, dirt, short, long. So he can get you any type of horse. And I know primarily he'll get you turf horse, but he's a fantastic two-year-old sire, second leading sire only behind Into Mischief this year. And, I think he's, now that he's finally has the really expensive mares, because he started at $12,500, and Bernie still has the letter. I think it was his fourth breeding season where he was literally begging people to breed to the horse. And then that spring he had some two-year-olds start selling, and then they started winning, and he took off from there and hasn't looked back since.
Private Zone takes the lead at the top of the stretch after a 44 1/2 mile. Private Zone will come into the final furlong in front. On the outside run, Happy Planet pulls in with Favorite Tail. Holy Boss is back to fourth. Private Zone reaching for the wire. Run Happy coming after him. These two will decide it. Private Zone, Run Happy's got him. Run Happy has won the sprint. What a racehorse.
What a racehorse indeed. Run Happy, one of the fastest horses that's raced over the last couple of years, and he has been retired, and he will be standing at Claiborne Farm in 2017, as will Ironicus. And Walker, how big a coup was it for you guys to get these horses, especially a just brilliant Breeders' Cup winner, Run Happy?
Oh, yeah. No, we're very excited for both of those horses, Run Happy and Ironicus. You know, they're very talented, both of them in their own ways. You know, we're very excited to have Run Happy. You know, he was a fast horse and very, very talented. You know, we're looking forward to seeing his babies. And same goes for Ironicus. You know, he's impeccable of your bred. He's got a huge family. He had a tremendous turn of foot. You know, he came up just a little short in his last two races there here at Keeneland and then in California. But we're also pleased for him. It's for $7,500. I don't think you can go wrong there.
And Walker, in over the past few years, Claiborne's strength in the sire ranks has largely revolved around horses that Claiborne owned. Pulpit was, before Warfront, your biggest star. And then Blame, of course, terrific racehorse, Breeders' Cup Classic winner, and also looks to be a very promising stallion. Now when you go out and get a Run Happy who had no connection to Claiborne during his racing career, is that a sign that Claiborne is going to be a lot more in on the so-called free agent stallions than when any big star leaves the racetrack, Claiborne's going to be a player, or at least, you know, making the phone calls and seeing if Claiborne is a place for them and a good fit for them as their future home?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we live in an age where you have to be so much more aggressive than maybe you used to have, than you used to be. You know, back in the day, you kind of the stallions were retired to maybe the farms that they came from or something like that. But you know, 7 of our 11 stallions were born and raised here on the farm, so we're proud of that. But no, we're you know, we're stepping up our game here in the stallion world, and we're just because one wasn't born and raised here, we don't have a connection, doesn't mean that we're going to sit it out. So. Yes, like you said, it was very important for us to secure Run Happy, and we couldn't be more happy to have him here.
Well, the expression that you hear so many times is millennials, and Walker Hancock, of course, is a millennial. So he brings ideas to the job that are befitting his generation. And I know one of the things that you're very proud of, and you know, something that people, I'm a baby boomer, so I'm not so much into this, but I know younger people are, is Snapchat. Tell us what you've done with Snapchat and some of the unique things that you're doing with them.
Yeah, so last year we had our own Snapchat geo filter for the month of April and May. We have a lot of visitors that come into town during those months that come in for Keeneland and then stay around for the Derby. And it's a great time of year here in the Bluegrass when everything's green and blooming and it's very pretty. So we had a Snapchat geo filter and and, you know, it's kind of very different for us. But, you know, like that was one of the reasons, I think, going back to your point, why Dad may have wanted to retire at a little earlier age than maybe some people. Because, you know, I kind of see the way the world's changing. And, you know, he's old school and he'll admit that. So we have a nice blend of new school ideas or new ideas and old school ideas. So, you know, we're going to keep on trying to move forward and innovatively think and see what the future holds for us.
And Walker, I understand that one of your other innovations is to really upgrade the visitor center at Claiborne, whereas before, I know you go on these tours, you'd just sort of huddle in an office and somebody would take you around. And from what I haven't been to your farm in the last few years, but what I've been told is that not only do you have a nice visitor center, you've got a gift shop with T-shirts and everything, and you know, you're much more into the aspect of marketing and promotion and tourism. So tell us a little bit about that as well.
Yeah, so, I mean, we kind of did for a myriad of reasons, but, you know, one, like you said, everyone would just be huddled up outside in the rain, and you'd drive by and feel sorry for them while they waited on the tour, so we figured we needed to improve our customer service. You know, we've been to these bourbon distilleries, and they've really put an emphasis towards customer service and tourism, and, you know, we figured if we could do something similar to maybe a place like Woodford Reserve or Maker's Mark, whatever, and if it could just have half the impact on our industry that it has on the bourbon industry, then we'll be in a lot better shape here in a few years. So one of those customer service and others, you know, we have some plaques and pictures and videos that are played in our visitor center, and people can learn a little bit about the farm before their tour starts. And, you know, the one big thing, people always would ask us for hats and stuff like that. And, you know, it was hard. Who do you give them out to and who you don't, and everything like that. So we just said, hey, let's just give the people what they want. They want to take something home with them when they leave here. And we now provide them with that opportunity.
And walking around that same theme of being younger and somebody who's more in tune with the younger generation and how the world is changing, anything else in particular that you've done or ideas that you have to make, you know, Claiborne Farm both keep its tradition yet become more of a modern operation?
Yeah, you know, we're continuing to fight that balance between old school and new school. You know, keep our principles of do the usual and usually well, but at the same time, if you don't evolve, then you're going to get left behind. So we're trying to do both here. You know, we're look forward to seeing what the future holds for us and, you know, hopefully evolving and changing as needed.
Very good. Well, Walker, it's been such a pleasure to chat with you. It's very impressive what you've been doing at Claiborne. Congratulations on getting Run Happy. Thank you to our sponsor at TaylorMade. Walker, keep up the good work, and I'm sure we'll be seeing a lot more of Claiborne in the news in the weeks and months ahead.
I really appreciate it.
Okay. Thank you so much, Walker.
All right. Thank you.